Good morning, everyone. Got lost in the song there, but that's all right. Welcome. Let's see. I guess that's really all I'm going to do. We've got to fix the clock, so we'll do that. Don't want to fix it yet, because that'll give me a couple extra minutes. Well, we're going to start off singing a song this morning called The Goodness of God, Bethel Music. You may know it. If you'd like to stand, fine. If not, be seated. We're going to worship the Lord. You might want to raise that just a little bit for that song.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. You have led me through the fire, and in the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good.
Thank you, Lord.
Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. It's running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Lay down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Oh, goodness is running after, it's running after me. It's running after me. Life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Oh, goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. You have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every that I am able. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Father, what a joy, joy and opportunity it is to gather in your house today, Father. With every breath that I am able, I want to declare the goodness of God. Because all of our life, Father, you've been faithful. You've journeyed with us no matter where we've been and no matter where we're going. You are God. And God, we have gathered in your name. Your Holy Spirit is in this place, Father, and we just worship you today. We're thankful for all the journeys, all the trials, all the temptations, all the mountaintops, and all of the valleys. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Oh, let the goodness of God flow today. Let the power of your presence fill us. Let your joy, Father, flood our lives, and let your grace and mercy be who we are. Father, we are so grateful to gather in your name. And Father, we just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, what's going on in the life of the church? I still have a leg up on the competition. I was telling Linda this morning I finished my last semester. I didn't fare as well as I should have. Let me just tell you that. I got an A-. So my grade point average dropped from a 3.94 to a 3.90. Oh, well. Wow, woe is me, right? You know, I ended up with a 92.67 in the class, which is 0.3 away from an A. Oh, well. I'm really sad. So, I took it all the way, and I was heartbroken and sulked for about as long as I looked at the grade, and I was done. And the class was like, okay, let's move on. The next class, chop, chop. So here we are. So what's going on in the life of the church? Ladies' Bible study, we forgot to mention that last week. They're doing the Priscilla Schreier book at Hope Crossing. There's still time to get your book. It's called Breathe, Making Room for the Sabbath. So if you're interested, that's going on at Hope Crossing on Tuesday evenings at 6:30. Okay, there you have it, September 17th. All right. All the information's in the bulletin and on Facebook and everything else. So, next, Wednesday night. I apologize. I found out Monday night with my first class that I have to be down on campus the 10th and the 11th. So, I'm very sorry, but we're going to have to postpone going into the book of Micah one more week. I did it because Jonathan and Maria couldn't be there, so I said I'm just going to postpone it a week. No, it ended up happening. This semester is all about research proposal. So yours truly is down on campus in the library. I have some research that I have to meet with my advisor, and I have to go all day. So Beth's got to drive me, and so I'll be down on campus the 10th and the 11th, and I'll return home, and we'll start the following week. So I apologize for that delay. What's next? Youth conference at Lighthouse, September the 7th. I was looking for the date on there. And that's coming up real quick. If you're interested in that, let me know, and we'll see about getting you down there or getting the tickets for it. What's next? Malu, September the 14th. We normally have the backyard gathering on a Sunday morning. This year they backed it up, so it's on Saturday the 14th at 11 o'clock. There's a lot of things going on. It's at Metro Parkway. It's $10 to get in, so it'll be a Saturday. And we will still have worship here on Sunday. So if you want to go, that Saturday there's hot dogs, hamburgers, all kinds of things going on that day. There's a giveaway, White Elephant. So if you want to join in that, that's there. All the information is there, and all the sister churches are gathering for that. Let's see, what's next? Back to church Sunday, September the 15th. Well, we're back to church now, so if you got somebody that you want to invite, Sunday, September 15th is back to church. Fall conference, we'll be having one October the 18th, 19th, and 20th at Evanswood. I will be there assisting, hopefully, walking on both feet by that time, I hope. I'd love to get a foot on the ground. I got one, but I want the second one. So that's coming up there. If you're interested, mark your calendars. The pantry is in the back. We still are collecting food that will help the homeless out. It's coming into fall weather, so, it's cider mill and donuts and all of that. So please remember, if you're interested in helping with the food pantry, that's there. Last but not least, I know there's the QR code. Let me just give you an update. This past week, we brought in Flame Furnace again. We did some investigation. Our initial launch said that the furnaces were not failed due to an electrical strike. That has been confirmed. Flame said there's no evidence of any kind of storm damage or electrical damage, so we are left to fend on our own. So we're trying to make a logical decision what's the best way to do it, but regardless, it's going to be about $18,000 or $19,000 to replace both furnaces. Now the benefit to that is if you do one furnace, it's about $12,000. If you do them both, it's $19,000. We end up saying, yeah, $19, don't we wish? But you save roughly $2,000 or $3,000 by doing both of them at the same time. The predicate is that both furnaces were installed somewhere around 1995 to 98. So both furnaces are roughly 30 years plus. The question becomes, do we want to invest the money and get both of them done at one time? Or do we just want to do one? The verdict is out. I'm trying to do whatever I can to secure whatever financing is available to stretch it out for us so that we're not outlaying the cash all at once. But I'm still working on that, and hopefully I'll have a better answer for you by next week. We do know that the one furnace has a cracked heat exchanger, so coming into the fall weather, we still have a little bit warmer weather, but we're going to have to make a decision here pretty quick because I'm not sure that the furnace can keep up the heat. What are you tapping on your... She's like, let's go. I'm trying to give you information before we go too far. But at any rate, I'll keep you posted as much as possible, so my wife will keep me moving along this so I stop talking, in other words. Our worship today, the first song, there's a little bit of interlude for it. It's a Michael W. Smith song. It's called Angus Day. The following song is Holy is the Lord, and then In His Time. So what I'll probably do is just have you be seated until the words come up. Worship however you'd like to. And then on preparing for a time of prayer in His time, I'll probably have you seated as well. So that you can get prepared for prayer, because there's an interlude to that. So go ahead, John. I'll quit talking.
Glory, holy is the Lord, God Almighty.
This next song, In His Time, is called A Wonderful Thing. Go ahead to the next song, John. Just in an attitude of prayer, we want to continue to keep Gary in our prayers, Sister Jean, Charlotte, who is at home, the multitude of needs that are in our bulletin. But in His time, He'll do all things in His time. Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I pass on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Father, we are so grateful that we can pause in this moment to give you thanks and praise, God, for these elements. Allow us, God, the opportunity to take you into our life. We will thank you and praise you for your blessings and your tremendous gift. In Jesus' holy name, amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, eat and drink as you will. As we prepare for a time of prayer, let's remember the needs of the church and the body to give thanks for his blessings. Oh, blessed Lord. We've embarked, gone on in what appears to be the fall season. Labor Day is upon us. Tomorrow there'll be many out marching and celebrating, Father, in remembrance of those who labor and strife for the calling, for work, in a multitude of ways. Father, we remember those who have made it possible and paved the way that we might celebrate the gift of God. We thank you for the labor of love, a labor that was given to us, Father, given on the cross. Celebrated in the empty tomb and reminded in the resurrected Lord. We are grateful, God, for the students who begin their next journey as they embark on this school system year. Father, we ask that you will bless them. Young men and young women as they step out, our grandchildren, our friends, our family, our church. This, Father, can be a great year. Father, I pray that it begins with the power of your love and your presence. Pray that you give them peace as they receive their assignments, as they step out, as they begin to look over the textbooks and the class schedules. I pray most of all that you'll give them peace and guidance. Father, I'm thankful that I've finished the semester and ready to embark on the next semester. Father, I just ask that you will watch over the students, the teachers, the staff, those who make it possible. But Father, give our students wisdom and grace. Father, let not the teaching hinder them from what is in their mind and the journey that you have set forth in them. Give them wisdom. Father, give them grace. Father, as Ivana steps out, she looks forward to finishing this year and embarking on what is ahead of her. The future is bright for the church, God. We're thankful for young men and young women like her with a passion for you, a passion to do great things. You've told us, God, that it is possible. Whatever the world says is impossible, it becomes possible with our God. And I pray that you'll just give her wisdom, grace. Be with mom and dad as they let her step out, as they begin to help her embark on the next journey. Give them grace, God. It's a new journey. Been down that road a couple of times, God. And it's kind of scary, but kind of beautiful in a wonderful way. Father, I just pray that you'll be with their family. Bless them, God, in this school year. May all the things show themselves. May your wisdom guide, and may your love and grace be upon them. Father, as we as a church embark, we pray that we'll continue to pray for the students, the teachers, the parents. Continue to pray for our sister churches around the area, for Evanswood and Hope Crossing and Chippewa Valley, and for your grace upon Bethany, for the churches in our community, in our city, in our state, and across this great nation. Someone posted this week that we need God. What a true statement. Father, we're about to embark on a political climate for October and November. We pray for wisdom, direction. We pray for a country that needs to turn its attention to its knees and pray. We pray that, Father, your wisdom and grace will be upon all situations. Even today, Father, as I open the phone, we hear of shootings, rumors of wars, destruction, famine, crisis all over this great world. And yet we know there's a God who's much bigger. And the enemy wants us to see what's only what we can see. God, I pray that you'll help us to weed between the shattered glass, see you only. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I pray for our church. I pray for our churches. I pray for people. I pray for your grace and mercy. Father, whether we're sick, feeling great, whatever it is, whether we're facing financial crisis, physical crisis, God, I pray that you will bless your people today. And bless your church. There are many out and about, many who are enjoying the last fruits of summer that they can grab. Some are golfing, some are vacation. Bless them, Father. Watch over them and be near to them. And now, Father, as we break open the bread of life, I pray that you'll bless it, that it will encourage us and strengthen us, that you'll guide and direct us as a church, that your hand will be upon us, and that you'll teach us all things. And lo, Father, you are with us to the very ends of the earth. And we'll thank you for your mercy and grace. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Well, next week you'll get the blessing for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Sheila's going to be joining us next Sunday, and we're going to spend the best that I can leading us in some traditional hymns over the course of the next 4 weeks. So enjoy that. I'm sure that many of you will enjoy Sheila's playing and her ragtag and time that she plays, and we'll be all blessed to celebrate that. But so we'll be working on some traditional hymns over the next 4 weeks, so I'm going to brush up the hymnal, and we're going to work on that. So we'll see how that goes, and I'll be working this week to try to get some of those ready and see what the next 4 weeks. I've got sermon series are already laid out. Guess what's coming up? Advent packages are already been sent in my mail. We're not even past and into Thanksgiving, and we're already getting Advent information. Before we know it, here we are. Well, let's pull that title up, John. A Challenge of Love. Michaela Anderson writes these words. Throughout the Old Testament, love is always present. Many believe that love is something found in the New Testament, and the Old Testament shows only a vengeful God. That is not true. Love is shown throughout the Old Testament. The greatest love story ever told began in Genesis with Adam and Eve and culminated in the Passion of Christ. Man has always been called to love God, not merely to obey him. God's not just a ruler, but a father. He is not distant, but personal. He wants us to love him completely because it's the only way to glimpse how he loves each one of us. In the text today, we're going to look at love in a different kind of format. I know the powerful principle of the Greek word love is formed in 3 different ways in the Greek text. Philos, agape, and eros. Philos love is love that we share among friends. Friendship. Agape love is an unconditional kind of love. Eros love is something that should be shared by your mates and spouses. Kevin Jenkins, who is the president of World Vision, states, "It's one thing to know that love is in action, but it's far more challenging to make that action a way of life, not only at work and at home." If you're able to stand with me, we're going to read together Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 9. I don't have the number in your Bibles, but that's okay. You can find it. It's early on in the Old Testament. We're going to pick up at Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 and 2. I didn't hear you. 279. Well, hopefully they got it. 279. "Hear, O now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." Now down to verse 6. "Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations. Who will hear about these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people'? What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near them, near us whenever we pray? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. We find that there's a lot here taking place in this scripture. Moses is with the Israelites. This is Deuteronomy, which is considered to be the second law. We have the books of the Pentateuch, so to speak, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And we're now in the last standing. As it's considered to be the second law, Moses is standing with the people. They're about ready to go and do some great things. Moses tells them that we are standing here at the threshold of a promise. It's interesting. Moses is never going to enter the land. He's already made it very clear that he's here and he's about ready to send the people into a promise. They have spent all the way from Egypt up until this point. They've journeyed. They've been through the valleys. And they've been on the mountain. You and I are standing here today. Of course, you're really sitting. I'm the only one standing. But we're here today on the threshold of a promise. God has said to you and I that we're ready to enjoy the benefits, the promises before your eyes, that generations after me should enjoy the fruits of our labors. What do we do? Where do we go? How do we proceed? Moses is giving the people a challenge of love. He's offering them basically a roadmap. Here's how you do it. He's not telling them about the same love of Christ that we will see in the New Testament. He's telling them about a relationship. Here before their eyes is the River Jordan. Here before them is the land God is giving to them. Here before them is a group of people ready to embark. You and I, every day, stand on the threshold of greatness. We are standing ready to take a hold of all that God has given to us. We are at the threshold of doing wonderful things, powerful things, great things for the Lord. What will stop us? Egypt has long since been in their minds. The memories. Unfortunately, Moses is going to face some people. In all of their recalls, "I want to go back." Moses saying, what's ahead of us is what God has destined for us. I want to go back. I want to go back to the fruits, and I want to go back to the food, and I want to go back to the security of that. Many of the people that Moses is talking to, their ancestors died in Egypt. Their families have been lost in the journey to get them where they're at today. And yet for them, the story lives on. They want to go back. This land of promise is in front of them. The wilderness has faltered their journeys. They've recalled. They've grown. The story has been painful and yet beautiful. From Mount Horeb, God calls the Israelites and gives them the gift. They are on the edge of victory. They are on the edge of going into greatness. All that's left is one step. Sometimes I wonder, folks, what's keeping us? I read this past week about the church. They say the church is a dying entity, no longer relevant, reliable, and important. They say that it's going to be a dying breed. There'll be those that worship, that'll worship in different ways. They say for us, generations to come may look at the church in a completely different eye. Israelites are poised to go into a land of promise. They're to exit the desert, exit the wandering. They're ready to enter a land flowing with milk and honey, where rain falls from the sky. The blessings of life for their love and their children. Fertile soil, abundant grain, wine, oil, free from disease and victory from their enemies. Every promise will be theirs if they only trust. Whoa. Here's the key. They're standing on the greatness of what is in front of them. Every step will be ordered by the Lord. Every step will be promised of God. Every step will be journeyed with them. God will watch over them. God will bless them. God will pour out His Spirit upon them. God will give them strength over their enemies, fruits of their labor, and a promise that will be fulfilled not only for them, for generations to come. Our children, our grandchildren, they're about ready to embark on a new journey. Ivana's fixing to go into 12th grade, about ready to finish high school. She's already got her sights set on where she needs to go and what she needs to do. All of that is kind of muddled in the system of, where is God leading me? What is God doing in my life? What has the world got for me to have? And yet greatness is one step at a time. Knowing that if I give God my life, I stand on the threshold of promise. All that is left for me is to trust that He will walk with me through those promises. Moses tells the people, right here, right now, will you be a people of faith? And trust. Will you take hold of what God is offering and step forward into the promised land, understanding the power of His love and that nothing, I say this, nothing can stop us? What will they do? Some will grumble. Joshua and Caleb said, hey, don't worry about those Amalekites. Don't worry about the Nephilims. Don't worry about those giants. Don't worry about what's in front of you. Our God has already ordered the steps. Don't worry about the church. It will survive. Don't worry about what I've laid out for you. Don't let people tell you the church is going to die. Move forward. Step across the River Jordan. Step into the promised land. Let my abundance flow. Have trust in me. we can be concerned about our children. But if we believe, nothing will stop them. If we observe them, if we pray for them, if we believe in them, and they believe in themselves, and they have a good support system, if they have someone praying for them, if they have someone believing in them, if they have someone entrusting in them, if they have someone encouraging them, nothing will stop them. We are standing on the threshold of a promise today. Moses tells the people, follow and observe. He says, I've taught you the decrees and the laws that God has commanded me. I've given you this challenge today to love them, to follow the pattern. It's not a legalistic obedience. It's not laws to regulate. It's not signs to direct us. It's not a government against the people. It's not a decree that pulls us from the church of God. Too many want to tell you today, you can't do that. The rules don't match what you're supposed to be able to do. I'm in school, and I'm reading my handbook. Well, Pastor, you can't write that. Why not? That's what the Bible said. We must be an inclusive generation. Now I must adopt my writing to match what the world wants to say. I'd rather take an A- on my grade. The Bible is the Bible. This is what we've been given. Moses says, here's God. I've given you the decrees. If you want to mark me down for saying that it's God created man in his own image, then mark me down. The scripture is the scripture. We have been given a challenge not to make mankind in some other image. God does not want from you and I blind obedience. He wants a faithful obedience to know that God is still God and he has all things under control. The statement to follow and observe may seem strange to Christians, but for those who've been living against the law and grace, we might not want to hear that, but observe the threshold of reset. Moses said, forget about where you've come from. I was sharing with someone this week. They were talking about our past. I don't have that illustrious past that you might have. I've come from difficult circumstances. Wife didn't believe it until she heard it for herself. Sounds kind of strange that you grow up in those kind of environments. Father leaving when you're very young. Stepfather who drinks all the time, fights every Fridays and Saturdays. 4 o'clock in the mornings getting up and leaving. Stepfather who gets thrown in jail. Drugs, alcohol, violence were a way of life. 5 high schools in 4 years. It wasn't because I wanted to. Difficult challenges. Those do not define who you and I are. Hear me out. That's a journey that got me to where I'm at today. They do not and they will not define who you and I are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what journey you've been under. I don't care what happened in your past life. God says today is a new day. He said follow and observe. Leave behind. Today is the time to push the reset button. It's time to turn the computer off, to turn the phone off, reset the environment. God said you're about to embark on a new journey. Leave behind your past life. Press on forward, and I will give you a new ending. This idea of rules and regulations and expectations, these ordinances weren't designed to give us anxiety or stress. They weren't designed to remind us that we've been through the wilderness. This isn't a quid pro quo. This isn't do this or I'm going to do this. This is a willingness to participate in the formation of God. Follow and observe. You know, as a child, we played follow the leader. You ever been there? Someone gets to be the leader. The rest of us get to follow. When you're the leader, guess what? You get to put your arm out here, your arm out there, shake this leg out here. You get to move this circle. You go anywhere you want to go. Remember that? Everybody behind you is trying to mirror what you're doing. Moses is saying, listen, God has brought us to this place. Follow God. Don't follow the world. Don't follow that person in front of you. Because if you do, you're going to end up getting somebody mad at you because they don't like you too close to them. They don't like you in the lane you're in. Matter of fact, they don't like the car you're driving. They may not like you at all. God says, I have given you a relationship. It's love. Our God sends us the ability through this to follow and observe Him. He will love us through the process. And He said, along that path, you will gain wisdom and understanding. It's hard for us to reconcile how if I follow God and I observe all His laws and His commandments, I'm going to gain wisdom and understanding. Correct. Moses is saying, listen, God has done all things. Through this whole Pentateuch, God has laid out the foundation for us, not to give us laws to regulate everything we do. We need, as people, consistency. We need some way to guide us, some direction. We need some understanding. And if you follow Him, and you observe Him, and you obey Him, the children of Israel are on the threshold of a greatness of love. And He said, there is wisdom and understanding to follow. He said, God is with us. As we dig a little deeper into this passage, we find there's a connectivity to God. People narrated through Moses. The theological center of this passage is in verse 7 and verse 8. He said, what great nation is there that has gods near you like me? What great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances and righteousness like all other places? There's no one. The Israelite nation is incomparable. It's great because of their connectivity to God. It is great because of the Torah, because of the righteousness, and because of the laws of God. The syntax of this text suggests nearness to God and righteousness are connected because of the law and because of God's love. This commandment is that God is near us. What is happening? God is drawing the people near. It's almost like God is our surrogate. He's giving us a writing on our heart. Remember in Deuteronomy, He said, that's why I'm going to take your heart of stone, make it a heart of flesh. I'm going to write my laws and decrees upon your heart that you may keep them in a manifestation of God's presence. He's already written them, given them a visual manifestation of His presence when He wrote the laws, the Ten Commandments on the solid stone, when He put them in their presence, when He's with them, when He journeys with them on a cloud in a pillar of fire, when He separated the Red Sea. He's now going to separate the River Jordan again and allow them to go into the Promised Land. God has been with them. You know the problem is? We don't see God with us in the world today. There's too many things that want to draw us away from the love of God. Moses tried to explain, don't take anything away from this. What's missing is this, that your God has done all of this for you. He's with you. Whenever you journey, you may not sense God right now. You may not say, well, God, I don't get this warm, oozy-goozy feeling. My hair on my arms isn't standing up all the time. I don't sense that you're always there, but God is there. He's no further away than your heart. Christianity tells us that when Christ comes into our life, He's with us. We become the living, breathing example. We don't have to look for Him. You are that example of God. Yet for the children of Israel, He wants to remind them, just as in the past, God is life-giving, love-giving. The challenge calls for them to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, willingly to follow and observe and to share it with the next generation. Finally, in this text, the challenge of love, God and love are synonymous. Love is not an attribute of God. It is God. Whatever God is, love is. Oswald Chambers says that. The final verses of verse 9 ends with Moses urging the Israelites to be watchful and keep the commandments. They must not forget, but take them with them to the generations to come. We are the spiritual descendants of Israelites. We are the ones who hear the law, who hear the love, who follow the commandments. Righteousness comes because of Christ. We could not accept his righteousness until he took his sin upon him. Did you hear me? We can't have the righteousness of God. We can't be in right standing with God unless he took our sin from us. Because he took our sin from us, we now have his righteousness in our life. Christians must decide whether they're going to be heirs of the command and follow him. Are they going to love? Are they going to challenge to love each other? Are they going to follow the law? Are they going to follow in the footsteps? Are they going to bear the fruits around them? The challenge of love calls for you and I today to recognize we are on the threshold of a promise. All that's remaining is one step at a time. It's a question of whether you will take the step, whether you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or you will love the world around you more than that. That is the question today, Father. Thank you for the challenge of love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to love you, God. And I pray today, God, that you will continue to guide your people and that you will bless us. We'll thank you and praise you for this challenge. Father, I'm here today to accept that challenge, to step out in faith, to continue to move forward for generations to come. I pray that every breath I breathe, every song that I sing will give you grace and glory. Father, Josh Baldwin wrote this song, "I Was Made for More." Father, remind us we are made for more today. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
I know who I am. I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only in the star. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future and it's worth I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more.
You and I have been called for greatness and made for more.
Why would I make a bed in my shame when the mountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made. I'm not going back. grace. Running my way, I know I am yours. I was made for more.
Father, we just thank you, God, that we have been made for so much more. You've challenged us today, God. You've called us out. You've called us by name, and you've given us a challenge of love. Father, let us know that we weren't made to be tending a grave. We were called by name, God, born and raised back to life because of you. Bless your people today, Father. Give them grace as they step out in this week, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day.
Look at all the angels watching. They're singing songs we have never heard. And their voices ring like bells over the mountain. Oh, if only we could hear their words. God, if we were little girls. God, if we holding you tonight, and it's hard.